All right, the Audible is on the air Monday afternoon. Kimbo Camper here with you. Dolphin defensive line coach Andre Carter with us, the newest member of the Dolphin staff.
Yes, sir.
Well, thanks for joining us,
my man,
Andre.
Pleasure to have
you. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about here on the program.
Sounds good.
Hey, you're watching us. You're watching us on Periscope. You can send your questions in. Just go to the message bar down below on your page. You can send a message in. And remember, if you want to see us on a rebroadcast, we come on beginning tomorrow morning on the Miami Dolphins Facebook page. Probably about an hour after the show, we'll be on MiamiDolphins.com. And you can always go to the Miami Dolphins YouTube channel and catch all the archives. So that's where we are. So, Andre, you've been here for about a month now.
Yes, sir.
Getting a feel for what's going on here. You haven't had a chance to meet the guys you're going to be coaching as of yet. You've seen them on tape. First of all, why Miami? And what does this feel like to you coming to Miami?
Well, Miami, why not? But then, in retrospect, just with us, a sense of humor, they were the only team that offered me a position. But I took it. I have a great relationship with Coach Williams. Yep. I actually played for him back in the days when I was a Raider.
Yep.
And he knew I ended up doing an internship with the San Francisco 49ers, mm-hmm. which was a great stepping stone for me as a coach. Ended up working with Jason Tarver over there as an outside linebacker mm-hmm. coach. So when Terrell Williams asked me if I was interested, I said, sure, why not? Ended up doing an interview, met with the head guys, and about a week later, they asked me to join them, and it was great.
You get a good feel for the guys when you talk to Coach Gase and Terrell and the guys that you're going to be working with coaching staff-wise?
I sure did. I think for them, they definitely have a foundation of how they want to take this team. Mm-hmm. As you know, it was a great chance to be in the playoffs this last season. It showed that the Dolphins have an identity now. So it's more of a matter of how do we progress forward, how do we move forward, continue to bring in the right guys and resign some of the guys that were here the last season, which is great because it's all about establishing that foundation, bringing in the guys or keeping the guys that you trust and know that they're going to work hard and everybody else kind of piggybacks off of that.
So you played 12 years in the NFL. You played for the 49ers. Played for the Redskins.
13 years.
Patriots, 13. Don't want to shortchange you. I know how that is. I played 10 years in the league, but I always show 9 years because I was an injured reserve 1 year.
Yeah,
you know?
That's always tough.
You know, which I'm tough. Like, hey, come on. I was there. It was probably the worst year. Probably the toughest year I had. Come on, give me credit for it. You know what I mean?
You can at this day and age.
But 49ers, Redskins, Patriots, and you went to Cal.
Yes, sir.
You grew up in school. You grew up in San Jose?
Yes, sir. I moved all over the place. I'm a son of a football coach.
Right, right.
Born in Colorado, lived in Maryland, lived in Miami, Florida for 2 years, and then ended up moving to San Jose, California when I was a junior in high school.
Junior in high school. Yes, sir. Andre is the son of Reuben Carter, who played nose tackle for the University of Miami up until 1975.
Yes, sir.
Played for the Denver Broncos, was a star with the Denver Broncos for a number of years. And he was always a defense. He always played nose tackle. Was always a 3-4 team when he was there, right?
3-14. Yeah. Defensive nose tackle. They call him Big Rube.
Yep.
Played with Lyle Alzado, Tom Jackson.
Yeah.
Good, real good, solid defense.
Yeah,
the three amigos back then, if you want to know.
Another outside linebacker from
Cal. Oh, shoot.
Started the SSW.
I should have known this, too. I forgot. You have to tell me.
Some of those names, they kind of, it'll come to me, though.
That's it.
So when you're a junior, you moved to San Jose.
Yes, sir.
You go to Oak Grove High School.
Yes, sir.
Who was the coach at Oak Grove High School?
Eddie Buller. Buller.
Who in the past was a coach at Oak?
Oh, Mari Schottenheimer.
Mike Holmgren.
Mike Holmgren
was a coach, and Jim McMahon was a quarterback at Oak Grove for 1 year. You knew that?
Yes, sir, I did.
I grew up in Milpitas. I played at Milpitas High School, so we played against.
Oh wow!
We played against Oak Grove. I lived my whole life in Milpitas until I came down here.
Oh wow!
I played at Milpitas High School in San Jose State.
Yeah.
I lived in the Bay Area and did the whole thing there. And
small world,
so,
man.
So yeah, yeah.
Small world.
Back then, we used to beat up on Oak Grove pretty good. There was a new school, so we used to beat up on them a little bit. You know.
But then when I came in, our rivalries were St. Francis and Bellarmine.
Yep. Yeah.
So it was kind of like the rivalry between public school and private school.
Yeah. We were tucked more in that east side, you know. Mount Pleasant, you know. James Lick and Pete. We were hanging around with those guys, you know.
James Lick had the country boys though.
Yeah,
they had some. They had some strong boys back then.
I tell you, every time we went and played in like Bellarmine, Mitty, the Catholic schools in the Bay Area or in the San Jose area.
Yes.
Man, they used to beat the crap out of us. Well, you know, we It's coming from Milpitas.
I always thought they were recruiting before recruiting.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt about that. Hey, so you had a chance to kind of look at film of the guys that you're going to be dealing with, that you're going to be working with. Mm-hmm. In another month or so, you'll start getting the guys filtering in a little more, and you'll get some hands-on with them when OTAs start coming around. But as you look around at the guys that you will be working with, I know Dolphin just signed a couple guys to come in, William Hayes and a couple other guys that you'll be working with.
Right.
What do you see in that group, and what do you like about that group?
I think one thing, especially the way this game is now, is versatility. Mm-hmm. Now most of the games, everybody's playing in 11 personnel.
Yep.
It's just because it's just a passing league.
Yep.
So you got to have versatility. You got to have sometimes defensive ends playing D tackles just to create those matchups against the guards, and sometimes D tackles end up going against the offensive tackles just to create that power edge rush. But overall, we're so versatile. It's amazing, and it's just, you know, like I said, I only had a fraction of watching a lot of game film just because of getting ready for the combines, the NFL draft.
Yeah.
But from what I had saw, I was very impressed, just as far as the level of discipline from playing the run and especially the pass. The guys were just continuing to over communicate, and it's just like I said, it's always a good stepping stone. It's this last year was definitely a solid foundation. As far as becoming one of the best defensive lines in the league.
Talk about the game now, the way it is now. It's even changed since you got out of the league.
Right.
It continues to change, and as you said, it's become more of a wide open game. And you know, back when I played, and certainly before when I played, there wasn't the emphasis on rushing the passer that there was. Now, it was a big part of the game.
Right.
You know, you had to rush it, but that was a third down. You kind of widen out a little bit and you rush. Other times, you're head up on the tackles and playing the run. But now the game has got to be so much of a game that's played in the air.
It is.
That pass rushing has become at a premium.
It is.
To the point where a lot of teams' defensive ends just get upfield and, hey, you know what, if you happen to make a play on a run while you're on the way there, then that's a bonus for us.
And you see that more and more. I mean, I remember during the times I played, the New York Giants did that a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I think I call the technique kind of like a blast read, just go off the ball and play what you see.
Yeah.
That was just natural. I just think in general, too, I mean, back when in the beginning when I played, it was – you had to be like a two-dimensional player playing run and pass. But like I said, the game has shifted where it's just more in the air. I think the priorities are always, hey, can you rush the passer?
Yep.
Rush the passer first, play the run second. Yeah. That's the league.
Yeah, it's funny. And like even to the point where, you know, where contain used to be paramount.
Yes.
Now it's like, hey, just get there.
Just get there.
Get there. You got to spin inside.
Yes,
get there and, you know, we'll let the chips fall where they may. So just the idea, the thought of pass rushing has changed so much since then. And then you go to the running game where – back in the day, I know when your dad played and when I played, you know, you had guard blocks down.
No,
here comes the offside guy pulling.
Right.
You know, you got a pulling guard. You got traps. You got misdirects. You got counters.
Yes.
You got this and that. Now it seems like everyone's running the stretch.
Just stretching, zoning, blocking.
And let that running back kind of peek around
and then find the crease and go.
Offensive
linemen, I think offensive coordinators in general have perfected that style of running. It's unfortunate because, you know, you kind of miss those old school throwback games.
Yeah.
I mean, the fullback position
is just kind of obsolete, almost.
It's like the year of the dinosaur is pretty much has vanished away.
Yeah.
Just a single back set, zone read, and having an elusive running back to create elusive plays.
It's funny because you look around the National Football League, and whether it's offense or defense, it goes in waves, you know?
Yeah.
Well, for maybe a half of a decade or a decade, you got AFC is all 3-4, NFC is all 4-3, and then all of a sudden, we're going to change, and it shifts, but it goes back and forth.
Right.
I don't think the game, though, will ever go back to that line of fullback and a tailback up there.
I don't think so.
I formation, tight end blocks down, power block, all that stuff.
Right.
I think we've seen the last of that pretty much.
I think so too. You know, every now and then, I think teams will try to manipulate the tight ends.
I always wonder what it would be like if a team said, hey, you know what, we're going to go back to that. And we're going to go back to that, and we're going to line up and play against these guys and see if they can stop that. Until they catch up with it, you would think there would be a big advantage because
you would think so too.
Because it would be almost like being college, where you play against a Georgia Tech or Navy, those teams that run the option, and you never prepare for them. You have 1 week to prepare for them before you play, and teams never prepare well enough for them. But it almost seems to me like if you went back and did that, it'd be it would be interesting to see what kind of success or failure a team would have.
Now, every now and then, you'll get a team that has kind of like a three tight end set where they'll use the tight end in motion and then make a fullback. We're just like, look, he's a tight end.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't let him fool you. He's not a fullback.
Yeah.
Fullback's just a different mindset.
No. The neck's a little longer. He's not quite as stout.
That's it.
Doesn't hurt as much when he hits as that fullback. Let's go ahead and get some questions. What do you say?
Sounds good.
Hey, you're watching us here on the Audible here presented by our good friends at Aquafina. If you're watching us on Periscope, you can send your questions in. Just go to the bottom of the page at the message bar and send them in. El Chapo Jr. coming right out of the blocks
here.
Yeah, man. My man digs out of the tunnel and comes out every now and then.
I like that.
What do you feel is the biggest challenge going from the field, from playing, to coaching? What's it been like you going from a player and then getting into the coaching game?
It's the structure of how you want to run your meetings. I've become fond of the PowerPoint. I'm still learning how to use the PowerPoint. Just setting up the presentations and putting into words to where the players understand your philosophies, your style, your technique, and just kind of always being on top, always be prepared for questions, especially for players that probably have a little bit of struggle with certain learning capabilities. That's probably by far one of the hardest things. But I think just the more you do it, the more you rep it. It's just like anything in life. The more you rep it, the more you become accustomed to how to set up your meeting rooms. So that's one of the hardest things.
And as a young coach, you'll keep an eye on Terrell Williams, kind of see what he does follow his lead. You got a guy who's got a fountain of knowledge there that you can tap, and that's the nature of the business as you're getting into coaching, is as many guys as you can pick their brain. I'm sure that's the key to it.
Yes, and I think another thing is I learned, especially from doing my internship with the 49ers, patience.
Yep.
Become patient. Because, there's times, fortunately, being with the 49ers, we weren't successful. Mm-hmm. So now you're coming to a hostile environment where players are frustrated and they're short with you. And you always got to just be patient and be in that zen mode and just tell them, hey, look, everything's going to be all right. It's going to continue to get better. And just continue to be that positive coach and help them get better. Yeah. That's all you can do.
You had 80 sacks during your career, 80 and a half during your career.
Yes, sir.
Have you run across a frustration level where you could do it?
Right.
No, here's what you just do this.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy goes like, but he can't. Because sometimes you have to. I don't. The word's not dumbed down, but you have to coach to that guy's ability.
Yes.
Not your ability.
Right. Yes. And no, that's something I did, and I learned from day one.
Yeah.
You never want to put yourself in a position. You don't want to say I would do.
Right.
Because now players would look at you and kind of assume, well, is it about me or is it about yourself?
Right.
So I never use the word, this is what I would do if I was in this situation.
Yes.
I would actually put them on their heads, on their shoulders. Yeah. Hey, what were you seeing here? Well, this is what I saw, coach. Okay, well, let's adjust here because I've seen you do it before.
Yes.
And that's how you have to word it.
Yeah.
Because you never want to make it about yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you make it about yourself, you look at more of a selfish coach.
Yeah. I've read a lot from coaches in different fields, whatever sport it is, and coaches that were great, great players oftentimes struggle with that.
They do.
Trying to, because mentally you think, geez, you just go do it, know?
Yes, you would think so.
You just think, hey, you go do it, but, if a guy doesn't have that innate ability or doesn't have a little something that maybe you have that he's got a different, it's tough. So I can see that.
Yeah. Well, I always compared the game kind of like chess. You know your pieces.
Yep.
You know your pawns. You know your knights. You know your rooks.
Yep.
These are the moves that they're capable of doing. Just got to put them in the right way, on the right board, and everything will work out.
Pull the right trigger when it's time to make that move.
That's it.
Joey Bag of Donuts. Andre, what's the best advice your dad ever gave you about playing in the NFL and now coaching?
Oh, wow. Playing in the NFL, work hard. I think one thing I know that was always important, bring your lunch pail to work. Yep. That's all I know. But I feel the same thing goes too as a coach.
Yep.
You're just – nothing's changed. You're always going to be a student of the game.
Yep.
One thing I admire from Jason Tarver, who was a great mentor for me, and I noticed this, and this never changed when I was playing for him as well as working under him. He always had a notepad.
Yep.
Always had a notepad in meetings. Always had a notepad everywhere he went. Understand the game, and he was always asking questions. So as a player, even though I played for 13 years, I just come into this game as if I don't know anything. Well, as if I'm fresh out the gate.
Yeah, you know, it's I think everybody, most of the guys I played with that had a long career. It didn't matter if it was their seventh year, their 10th year, their 12th year. You know, that between 1 year and the next, I always try to find something that off season to get better at for the next year. Even if you're in your 10th year, going into your 10th year, 11th year.
Doesn't matter.
You know, it's just it's always looking for that edge, something different that I can do better than I did last year.
Exactly. Yeah. And you need that. You need that, because I think the second you don't have that edge is the second you'll get beat.
All right, at Black Man Game, how do you feel about signing Zach Brown? That's not for you. That's for me. You can't get into
that stuff.
Zach Brown, nice linebacker from Buffalo. Look, the Dolphins, I think we could use another linebacker. You go out and get Lawrence Timmons, who really is a nice addition to this this linebacker group, along with Kiko Alonso. By the way, Jelani Jenkins was signed today by the Oakland Raiders, so he is now a member of the Oakland Raiders. That's official. So Zach Brown visiting the Miami Dolphins today. Not sure what the situation signing, but I think he's the type of guy that you look in, and if the Dolphins have the wherewithal to do it and they feel he's the right guy, I think he'd make a good addition to this team, because it's all this team defensively. I know you're all about pass rush
always,
but you've seen this defense got to get better at stopping the run.
Yes,
big problem last year, not a big problem, but an issue last year that I know they've got the people to get better. But the linebacker position, certainly an area going into this offseason, was an area you wanted to get improvement on. I think you got the improvement with Timmons. Zach Brown, if he so happens to sign here, I think that would be a plus. But then you got the draft and linebackers coming up in the draft, so I think that's a good way to go. At Flinburn 1, what do you think about Hassan Reddick for our first pick? I'm not going to get into picks in the draft. So much stuff changes. I mean, you've been around the league
always
now. I mean, you know, you go in and, you know, you're sitting there. Look, the Dolphins are a good example. I mean, prior to free agency, you're looking in there, oh, geez, we get an offensive lineman, we get a linebacker, Now you go out and you fill a lot of these areas of need.
Yes.
And so it changes. So I'm not going to get into the guys in the first round or the first pick and all that
and
stuff.
And then plus our picks in the 22nd pick of the draft.
Who knows what goes on there. At Devin 7, who is the hardest quarterback for you to sack?
Well, we all know everybody has their own rivalry. We definitely had the rivalry. Tom Brady, of course. I sacked Ben Roethlisberger, but the other times I played against him, he was a tough competitor.
He's not a hard guy to get to.
I mean, he's not an easy guy to get to, but
getting to him is just the beginning of the game.
That's it. Because he just has those strong legs.
Yeah.
Hasselbeck drove me nuts.
Did he?
I could not stand Hasselbeck, but one of the best competitors going against.
Yeah.
And of course, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was just precise in his passes. Got the ball out quick. It was hard to pass rush against him.
And now you get to see more Tom Brady going forward.
Yeah, I know. You're going to drive
me
nuts.
What, man, the guy, you know what? You talk about just a guy that just gets the ball out quick.
That's it.
I mean, just quick. And, you know, if he knows he can get that one extra step back, he'll take it. But if not, if he had to take two steps and throw the ball, he'd take two steps and throw it. All day long.
It seems like he has about eight eyes behind the back of his head.
How frustrating. I mean, as a defensive lineman and coaching defensive lineman, boy, you talk about a frustration level being high.
Yeah. No,
you make a move and you beat a guy and the ball's already out. It's the worst. Not a whole lot you can do about it.
It's tough to make those adjustments. But there's always ways, you know, especially the inside game is always going to be important. Because as edge rushers, you can beat your man all day as long as you have the inside presence and maybe a little blitz every now and then is a little change up. You got to do it because if not, he'll anticipate what's coming and just on the fly.
You've got a chance to look a little bit at Cam Wake and what he's a pretty remarkable what this kid's been able to do, especially coming back last year from an Achilles injury that a lot of people didn't think he would ever be back near to what he was, and he comes back has another Pro Bowl year.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. I actually had a chance when I was with the 49ers, we played the Dolphins last season. Ended up shaking his hand and heard so many remarkable things about him.
Yeah.
And then I ended up reading his profile just as far as his foundation as being a great football player. And what a remarkable story.
Yeah.
And I know just from the 2016 season, I know initially, you know, he had limited reps, but just the way the game is, you got to adjust. But he's just like those type of guys that you know that, hey, we can rely on him.
Yeah.
no matter if it's 10 reps or 100 reps, he's going to go in there and fight to the very end.
Now, last year they had Jim Washburn here, and he was kind of the pass rushing guy.
Right.
Will you fill part of that niche or what?
I'm just learning my role right now.
Yeah, I got you.
I'm just learning my role. But yeah, I think in general, talking to Coach Adam Gasey, I think one of the things that was important was the reason why he brought me in was because I am a former NFL player, yes. Lived it, seen it, done it.
Yep.
But just to provide not only a level of coaching, but a level of mentorship, especially for the younger guys.
You know, there are some guys around the league, I'm sure you run it, that really don't want guys that play. If the majority of their staff never played in the league,
right.
It's kind of like, you know, there creates, you know, they're, I don't know what the situation is, but there's a lot of guys I know that they just don't.
Yeah, and I've heard that too. Yeah. I've heard nightmares from former players or coaches that's whatever reason.
I find hard to believe. I mean, because having played in the league, whether you were a defense, whether you're a cornerback, whether you were a guard, whether you were a safety, whether you're a wide receiver, you know, there's nuance to the game.
Always.
There's nuance to the game that I believe that you can't get it all.
Right.
If you weren't out there, rumbling around with somebody and figuring out how to get it done,
I totally agree. I ended up playing for Pepper Johnson.
Yes. Yeah.
For 2 years, mm-hmm. And he was phenomenal as a coach because he's done it.
Yeah.
And he done it back in the days, the old throwback days.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he understood. He understood. Hey guys, I know you're hurting, but we got to practice in this way.
Yeah.
Get through this, and we'll be good.
Yeah. Because he's seen the benefit.
He's seen
of
the
that.
Benefit of it. Yes.
No doubt about it. At the UK FinFan 29, how early do you think we draft a defensive tackle? I don't know. To me, defensive tackle, you got some pretty good ones out there.
Yes.
I mean, you're in a pretty good situation. I don't know early on the draft. I would look maybe 4 to 7. That would just be my thought on it. Another one, Periscope question. Coach, how many hours a day do you work either at home or in the facility? Now, off season's one thing, but when the season begins, it's a whole different thing. And, there's one reason why I'm sitting here and not wearing that stuff is because the hours that coaches have to put in, it is an ungodly amount of hours that you put in.
It is a level of commitment.
Yeah.
And going back to my internship, because that was the foundation of my coaching career, during the times of training camp, training camp's a little bit different.
Yes.
You know, the hours are a little bit more, I'm going to say flexible, but they're doable.
Yes.
But once I got invited to continue my internship for the regular season, mm-hmm. and had a feel for how certain things work or dynamics work with the coaching staff, I'm like, okay, I get it now. Yeah. And it's a grind.
Yeah.
And you got to love the grind.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays are by far one of the hardest days.
Yep.
But then it tampers off through Thursdays and Fridays.
Yeah.
Now, I think what's the hours that get crazy are when you play the Monday night games.
Yep.
The Monday night games in a short week.
Yeah.
Because you're doubling down. But then when you play on a Sunday and have to get ready for a Thursday night game.
Yeah, Thursday, Thursday's a big, Thursday's become a big conversation.
Yes.
About from the league, whether it's good for the league, bad for the league, game's good, game's bad, all those things.
Especially if you're traveling. Now, fortunately for us, when we had a home game on a Sunday, and then our game was again on a Thursday.
Yep.
We were lucky. However, this was our schedule. We had our game on Sunday.
Yep.
Game was over with. I saw my wife and my kid,
yep.
kissing goodbye, and headed right back to the facility.
Yep.
Getting ready to go for Thursday.
Yep.
Late night hours. I think I was up till like maybe 12 o'clock midnight, 1 o'clock midnight.
Yep.
Got a blanket. Ended up staying at the facility.
That's the
life of a coach.
It is. And it's amazing to me. It's now with technology and everything, coaches and players are watching game film, watching the films of the game on the way back
the jump,
on the plane. I mean,
iPads,
one thing about back when we played, you had the old film and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't watch anything.
No.
So we just,
yes.
I don't want to know. I don't want to see.
Yes.
Game's over.
Yes.
I'm going to just relax and enjoy myself until tomorrow whenever we watch that film again. But now it's right after. And I'm really surprised at how many players want to sit there on the plane on the way back and watch the tape of the game.
I was impressed last year. DeForest Buckner was a player.
Mm-hmm.
Ahmad Brooks, outside linebacker. I was very impressed. I think for me, because I was like, I'll see this on Monday.
Look, I'm gonna see it. Wait till I'm gonna get yelled at. I'll watch it then. You know,
it's gonna happen.
I know when I'm gonna get yelled at because I don't remember. I don't forget those plays.
Yes.
You may forget some good plays, but don't remember those plays. You're gonna get.
But those are those are the type of players that were just, they love the game. They want to get better.
Yep.
You know, especially like I said, we just didn't have the best season ever. So for them, they just wanted to just get better and know what they could do right and continue from there.
At I Got Game New Jersey. Coach, how do you feel about Sue and Wake? Pretty good combination there on that side of the line.
Hey, great combination. I'm very honored to work with these group of men. Like I said, fortunately, I get a chance to watch all the game film, but from the film that I did see, I was just impressed. Sue is Sue. He's explosive. He can move for a big man.
Yeah.
I know most Tigers don't like hearing that, but he can move for a big man. And Wake.
He runs people down. Yeah, I mean, he's
And Wake's at his prime.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it.
You know, you have two guys there that – You talk about their motor running at a high revolution.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
man, those are two guys that they just don't they don't slow down one bit.
I think most people don't give Sue credit because he does move.
Yeah, man,
he moves and his endurance is just impeccable. Yeah. I've never seen a tackle with that much endurance.
No, he just goes. Yes. He doesn't come out. I mean, he comes out every now and then, but
you have to.
And look, there's times you see a receiver running down the field.
Yeah, he'll chase him down.
And you're watching and you're going, well, look at my man coming up from behind there.
Yeah, he'll move. But those are the players you want. Those hits are taxing on receivers.
Yep.
They do not like that.
At 85 is the truth. How do you feel about Adam Gase? What was about Adam that impressed you when you met him? And what have you seen since you've been around him that you think about him?
Oh, just a high energy coach.
Yes.
You love coaches like that. That's just, but he's just the same.
Yeah.
The same. You know, I'm sure you've been through there where you see coaches are kind of like up and down depending on their mood, depending on the time of day, depending on if you win or lost. Adam Gase is the type of coach that's just, you know, he's high energy.
Yep.
For him, it's just like, I want to win. I don't care how pretty it is or how ugly it is. As long as we get the W, that's all that matters. And you want to work with coaches like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, win is not always going to be perfect.
Yeah.
But the more W's you have, despite the outcome, the more level of success you'll have towards the postseason, hopefully. Yeah,
no doubt about it. The more wins, the more confidence you get, and confidence breeds success, and you get going there. But, you know, the thing about him is, I mean, he's a high-energy guy, but he always stays – and man, he loves – you talk about chess earlier. He loves that game of calling plays against him. Right. Him against the defensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
You know that because he likes stories. That. It's like a me and you.
Right.
It's me versus you. Yeah. You know. Yes. He got me on this play, and you know, and I enjoy talking to him about because he, you know, he's a guy you enjoy talking football with because he you can see it just.
Yes.
He lives and breathes it.
Oh, yeah. But with that competition, I call it healthy competition.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because it's nothing evil. It's nothing conniving. It's just football.
Yeah.
It's not kind of like two kids playing. Yep. Oh, okay, you got me on this one. I got something for you on the next one.
No. It's not healthy. Look, it's respect. Healthy. Yeah, no, it's not.
Respect for each other and the game.
Hey, look, you know what? Each guy standing on that sideline, you know, you're playing 16 games a week.
Oh, yeah.
Each guy standing on that sideline – It's very good at what they do.
No question.
So the battle there, it's just like an offensive tackle and defensive end lining up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they go there 60 or 120 plays or whatever they're going to do.
Best man wins.
That's exactly it, no doubt about it. At Nathan and Megan's mom, do you think the players we signed on defense, our defense can be better to stop throwing? Yeah, look, I think certainly the linebacker position. I think you bring in, you know, another defensive end. You know, I think one of the big keys is I think Jordan Phillips is one of the keys.
Oh, yes.
I think he's done some really good stuff. He just needs to be a little bit more of an every down guy.
Right.
He needs to understand, he needs to play at a high level each and every down. But I mean, I think, you know, he's going into his third year now.
Mm-hmm.
He could really be a big key to the success of this defense because he certainly has. Certainly has a skill and the tools to do it.
Well, I think the scheme and working with Coach Williams, he polished his style of play, and I actually saw it a little bit this past season, and he looked well. And then, but I also heard the stories of, you know, the team he was with Jacksonville? Or I wasn't sure. I'm sorry. No, I'm thinking of another player. My apologies.
That's all right. No,
sorry.
No, I think he's a guy that can really. But to answer your question, Nathan and Megan's mom, I think the guys they've signed, I would still like to see. You know, I would still like to see the draft tend to be a little more defensive oriented. But that's just me.
That's all.
You know, Yeah, offense take care of themselves. You know, let them let them take care of themselves. Susie Cheesecake, Coach, how has the game changed off the field from when you began playing?
Oh, off the field, how has the game changed? You know, I think off the field, you know, I think this is funny. Social media.
Yeah.
Social media has taken off. And towards the end of my career, and that was in 2013, I think that's probably at the peak when I was leaving.
Yeah.
Because in 2001, you know, we didn't have Twitter, right. We didn't have Instagram. Facebook started coming out, I think, 06, 07, but it just wasn't as crazy. So social media aspect of this game is just on a whole nother level. And I didn't want any part of it.
Let me tell you what.
It's so much of a distraction.
Thank God when I and the guys I was playing with, no social media, no cell phones.
No cell phones,
man.
Yes.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Dealing with that stuff.
Yeah. At Black Man Game, was there ever a player, lineman, you hated to go against that was just that good, that you just didn't like playing against?
Walter Jones. Seattle Seahawks. I got one sack against them. And it would be two, but that was an effort sack, so I don't even count that. But Walter Jones, just smart. I mean, with him and Hasselbeck, that combination was just phenomenal because, you know, Hasselbeck knew the cadence. He knew the understood defense. And Walter Jones, being the player he is, he was like, okay, he changed the play. Yeah. I just got to adjust my feet. And had one of the by far one of the strongest two-handed punches I ever came across.
Certainly got to be a Hall of Fame type of guy, candidate out there. I mean, he played for a long time played at a very, very high level when Seattle had a very, very good offensive line up there.
He sure did, yeah. They ran the ball on that side with Hutchinson and Walter Jones neck and neck. It was a nightmare playing those guys twice a year.
You know, I remember we used to play against when we played against New England. John Hanna was their guard. He played defensive end in the 3-4.
Right.
So I was over the tackle. But we used to, every now and then, and it always seemed to be when we played against New England, we would reduce down. We used to call it an eagle defense. We would reduce the two ends down over the guards.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I'd slide. As soon as I heard, like, oh, God, here I'm going to John Hanna.
Yeah.
And John Hanna was a perfect build for the guard. He was, for a guard, he had kind of a smallish upper body.
Yeah.
You know, strong, but smallish upper body.
Right.
His ass was about you could run a movie on it in a drive-in and sit in your car and watch it from 20 rows back. I mean, he's a big, strong, stout.
Yep.
You're like a piston, you know?
Yes, yeah.
So I'd get down a stance. I'd snuggle my head back of my shoulder pads because I knew he was going to come out, and he was tough. So, yeah, everyone has a guy like that, and you remember him, right?
Yes, you always remember him. Yep. And Willie Rolfe was tough, too.
Yeah, Willie Rolfe
had a big upper body and skinny legs, but had a pop that drove
some
me
great,
nuts.
There's some great offensive tackles in this league, man. Yes. I don't think there's barely a week goes by where you're not playing against guys just at the top of their games.
Especially on that offensive left side.
Yep.
You know, that's the money side.
Yep.
You know, I want my best guy against him.
Yep, no doubt. Andre, thanks for stopping by, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. In and out. Quick deal here. Looking forward to the season. Looking forward to taking care of you guys. And
yes, sir.
I'm sure it's going to be exciting for you. And hopefully the Dolphins can have the type of success that they had this year and get a little couple games into the playoffs here a little bit. You know? Start sniffing that big one, right?
Let's try to win game one first.
Yeah, that's right. I'm with you. All right, that's going to do it for the Audible today. We'll be back on Wednesday. Go ahead and catch up with Zenners. Remember, starting tomorrow, you can watch on a rebroadcast on the Miami Dolphins Facebook page in probably about an hour or so. You can catch us on MiamiDolphins.com. We'll catch you on Wednesday. Take care.